Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. You know who I have with me, don't you?
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. Well, I'm going to bow out tonight, and Carolyn's got this really interesting show she's going to run with you. So I'm going to be a spectator like the rest of you, mostly.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be able to twist your arm and you can contribute a little now and then. Can't keep a good man down.
Can sometimes.
Anyway, folks, I wanted to do a little something different this week. And I have a long tradition of storytelling. Good storytelling, though. And I think today, with all of our modern technology, we forget a little how to tell a good story face-to-face with some people and really have some fun. And my recollections of storytelling go back as a young girl, every Saturday listening to a show called Let's Pretend. A lot of imagination, storytelling. And then another time I recall when my mother left me with my grandmother to watch me for the night as my folks went someplace. And I was just a little girl. And my grandmother had lots of children, a lot of grandchildren. And I remember that night this was an older house. There was no heat on the upper floor. And we had these giant feather quilts. And I don't know, I guess I must have had four or five cousins in bed with me. And the way the house was situated, there was a garage in back of the house. And it came up to the second floor where we were, and there was a porch. So you could go from this bedroom out onto the porch, and it had a brick railing around it. And it was wintertime, cold, blustery. And there were still some leaves on the back porch from where they had dropped off of trees. And these bursts of wind made these rustling sounds in the leaves. And we had no lights on. It was dark. And I remember laying under this big quilt with all of my cousins around me telling ghost stories. I still remember that today, even though that's been a long, long time ago. And how they'd say, no, no, don't want to hear any more. Of course they wanted to hear more. They just loved it. And so these were things that I did as a child, and I have great affection for storytelling. And even when my children were little and we would go camping, we would all sit around the campfire with other people who sat at other campfires telling stories, burning some wood in the summertime, enjoying a cup of tea, and just telling stories. It, to me, this is something that we don't do enough of. But I want to start tonight with talking about some spiritual stories. Not talking about ghosts or some of the other topics that you could get into, but how spirit interacts with us. Because I have a lot of stories that I've accumulated over my lifetime where I know that people on the other side actually did interact with me when I needed help. And the first story that I'm going to tell you about is when I went skiing with my former husband. We were doing some cross-country skiing. We had taken a motorhome to Vermont. Very cold. And I'd make a lot of soup and bread and put it in the back trunk, and it would stay frozen until we needed it. We'd have lots of people in the motorhome. I had five children of my own, and they brought their friends, so it was crowded and cozy. They all went skiing downhill, and we went, the first time I had ever done this, went cross-country skiing. And if you're familiar with cross-country skiing, you wear very light clothing, and maybe some silk undergarments to keep some heat in. And it's because cross-country skiing, you generated a lot of heat. And so during the day, you didn't want to get all that hot. And so we started out on the beginner's trail. And it was a gorgeous day, sun shining, bright, just beautiful. And somehow along the way, we came off of the beginner's trail, not realizing it, and wound up on the advanced trail. Now, in Vermont, if you haven't been there and out in the country, there's some beautiful mountains there with little towns nestled in between the mountains. And they're big with skiing, cross-country skiing in particular. And so you could effectively go up one side of the mountain and ski down the mountain into the village below. And, I mean, this really was for advanced skiers, not beginners. And on the other trails, on the lower part of the slopes, they would have people at the end of the evening skiing the trails, making sure everybody had found their way home. But they never checked on the upper trail because they figured advanced people would be smart enough to know how to get home. And here we were lost, getting dark, no flashlights, no food, and it was starting to get cold. And we were now into some areas where it was getting rather steep. And I tried making it up one hill. My husband had made his way up this hill, and every time I tried to get up the hill, my skis would just go backwards, and I'd wind up at the end, the bottom. And then I decided to take my skis off and maybe walk up, and I fell into snow all the way up to my waist. It was like a ravine. So I have to tell you that I really felt like we were in dire straits. We're pretty much at the, what I might say, almost at the top of the mountain. A mountain. I mean, it was, you know, a mountain range is there. And we had to go forward and not backward. And I thought, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do now, because there was water. There was like a bog that had been a stream. And the only way to get across it was to keep our skis on and step sideways over a fallen tree. And my husband had made it over to the other side of the stream. And there I was. Well, he was, as you might imagine, he was a little bit more coordinated than I was. And I'm looking at this tree, looking at the water, feeling the cold, and thinking, if I fell off of this log, it would be disastrous being lost in the mountains with no coverings and wet. And so I had no choice other than to move on. And so I started sidestepping. And I got about in the middle of the tree, and I started slipping. And all these pictures, it's interesting how so many pictures come before you at one moment, all the possibilities of falling into the water. And what happened is I felt these hands pushing me upright on the tree trunk. Now, there was no one there. My husband had crossed over, and there was nothing other than to understand this was a spirit helper. I don't know if it was my guardian angel or someone else on the other side, but they prevented me from falling into the water. And I knew this very well. The hands on me felt very solid. They were not ethereal. And so I was really getting tired, and as we were trying to get up another gully, there was a dugout section underneath a very large tree, and it was from water that had washed away the soil. And I said to my husband, I'm going to sleep here. I'm too tired. You go on. And he says, no, I'm not going to leave you here. And I thought, well, you know, there would be a good chance I would die there. And I had accepted that. Well, he forced me to go forward. And when he did, I looked up. Now, keep in mind, the only thing that we would see was the moon, moonlight. And I looked ahead, and I saw this light. And I said to him, we're going to work our way over to the light because this has to be some way of getting back to our motorhome. And so we followed as best we could over to where this light was. Well, it turned out that the downhill ski slope that my children were skiing on had lights in the evening. Well, when it started to really get dark, they would turn off the lights. And that night, for whatever reason, they didn't turn them off. And so there was our beacon to get back to the ski slope and get back to our motorhome. And I felt like, again, this was another point in my life where Spirit somehow was looking out for me, even though they were encouraging somebody to forget to turn out the lights. So that was one story. I have two more where I really feel Spirit was interacting with me. And if you have some stories like this, I'd like for you to call in and tell us about it. The second one is, before we had our motorhome, we had what I would call a trailer that you had on a hitch to the car, and the car actually pulled the trailer. And it was the first time that we had had this trailer, and we were going up to New Jersey. I was living still in Maryland at the time, and we were going up to visit my husband's parents. And we were going to take them for a day out in the country, enjoying just, you know, camping and eating out and all the fun things that you can do out at in a park. Well, this was the first time he had pulled this trailer. And it had brakes in the car that went back to the trailer. Well, he didn't really know how to work this because if the trailer that you were pulling got out of control, you were to use these brakes on the trailer and not the brakes on the car because that would straighten out the trailer and the car. Well, for those of you who might know about New Jersey and this interstate highway, there's quite a few lanes. I'm guessing from memory, maybe 5 or 6 different lanes in this section. And if you know anything about buses, they travel down these interstate highways rather quickly. Well, the first bus that went down, there was a group of them. The first bus that went coming towards us and ready to pass us was coming very fast. And when they did, it was like a vacuum that occurred between our trailer and the bus, because the trailer we were pulling was relatively high. And when it did that, the back end of the trailer started to swing a little bit. Well, like I said, he tried to straighten it out with the steering wheel and with the brakes on the car, and that did not help things very much because the back of the trailer started to make a wider arc. Then on top of that, the next bus came by. It was a group of buses. The next bus came by, and the same thing happened, except now there was more of a swing in the trailer. By the time we got to the fourth bus that passed us, the back of the trailer was moving at such an arc that the trailer literally pulled the car and we were moving over all of the lanes of the highway. And the next bus that came soon after, I saw the headlights. The bus couldn't stop. He was leaning on the horn. And my little ones were sleeping on the back seat, and all I could think of, what a way to go. They wouldn't have a chance to survive, wouldn't have a chance to find out what life is all about, because we couldn't stop. The bus wasn't going to stop. And here we were moving over all of these lanes. I just closed my eyes. I figured I didn't want to see this crash. The next thing I know, we're parked on the side of the road, stopped. And of course, I said to my husband, the most natural thing that you would say, what time is it? I laughed every time I thought about that. He says, 10:30. I said, what happened? How did you stop this? How did we get here? He says, I really don't know. Well, we proceeded on our trip, and we got to his parents' house. And his mother, as soon as we pulled into the driveway, came out. She's not a worrying kind of a person, kind of calm. And she came out practically wringing her hands, and she said, oh, my goodness, I have been praying for you. I have been so worried about you. My husband and I had made an agreement that we wouldn't tell her what happened because, goodness, she'd be afraid to go out with us. And when she came out that way, we told her what had happened after I asked her, what time was it that you started worrying about us? And she said, 10:30. Quite a story, isn't it? So I do believe there were a lot of things working here. Somehow, Spirit got us on the side of the road out of the way of this other bus that was leaning down on us. And there was this connection between my mother-in-law and us that was psychic. She knew something was going on. And I do believe that her prayer helped. Her, not prayer, but prayers. So that was the second story I wanted to tell. Now, the third, and I'm only going to tell three of these spiritual stories because we're going to get on to other topics. And as you listen to me, I hope that you call in with your stories, either something spiritual that has happened to you or some other topic. Now, the third story, I was driving in my car, and I heard, I was going to a client's house, and I heard this thump in my rear wheel tire. I had no idea what it was, but I thought, I'm not going to stop because their house wasn't that far away. Well, a man driving by yelled at me, and I put the window down, and he said, you have a fire in your rear wheel tire. And here I am in traffic. I'm trying to decide what to do. And I wasn't that far from the house. And I decided to continue. Well, it is interesting. As you know, I do have the ability to speak to people on the other side. And this time, the individual that we know of as St. Helena spoke to me. I was working with her at the time, and we had a show one time, Richard and myself, actually interviewing her. It's on our website at the 2012 countdown.com. And she told me that she would protect me. So I jumped out of the car, and I took a look at it, and where this wheel was, it was right underneath of the gas tank. And I ran into the people's house, and they came out with a hose, and they put the fire out. It was still burning. And it just seemed like a miracle, like the other two miracles on in these stories that I'm telling you. They were miracles, as this was a miracle. So he put the fire out, and I just looked at it. I was just amazed that you could have a fire underneath of a gas tank, and it end in the way that it ended. I really thought as the gentleman was putting water on the car that it was going to explode. And I thought, that's okay, I'm not in it. We'll get another car. But as it was able to be fixed. So they are three stories of miracles that have happened. And I really do call them miracles. Now, something I wanted to take a break from the storytelling and tell you about my blog. I have a blog on WordPress, and the address is carolynevers.wordpress.com. And there's a lot of really good stuff, and there is a section on the right side where I talk about my journey. And there are things that have happened to me and to other people that I have worked with, doing the spiritual work that I do. And if you look up at the right-hand corner, up at the top of the blog, you will see that you can sign up with your email. And every time there is a new entry on the blog, you will get an email telling you of such. Now, I don't plan on you having a lot of emails because I'm going to try and do a little entry each day, but with my schedule, it might not be every day. It might be every couple days. But I promise you that what's already on the blog that is in the other sections are older messages, but it's really interesting. Working with the Electron, for instance, is an interesting article, but do take a trip there, take a look at it, and if you want to be notified of new entries, then just put your email in that slot. Now, I wanted to talk about something that's a little bit different. Not miracles that have happened to me, but in a sense, miracles that have happened to other people. And something that I have learned, Richard and I work together, as you know, and one of the things that I do is take people to past lifetimes. Now, I don't talk about the people's lifetimes. I don't know of anybody else that does this. And what comes forth is just, to me, so miraculous, because what we do is the individual's soul chooses the lifetime that we will take them to. And it is a lifetime where the individual has expressed great skills, great abilities that maybe they have forgotten about. Because you probably know this, when we come to, when we incarnate each time, for the most part, we forget about what happened in the past lifetimes. And it's a journey that we must find. We must, again, remember some of these skills. And it is just amazing some of the things that people find. As I said, I have a method that I use to take people to a past lifetime. The soul has chosen the lifetime. And when we take them there, the individuals actually work with a past lifetime, see what they did in that lifetime that the soul is trying to show them, because the soul wants to remind them of some gift that they have received, work that they have done in the past. And the stories here are quite remarkable. Now, what happens is when you look into the other side and you actually communicate with people, individuals become discouraged because they're not successful at first. And What happens is, for the most part, people expect those on the other side to look like we do in this third dimension, something very solid. And I'd like to explain that in this dimension, the particles are compacted. Now, this happened, you know, they talk about the fall in Atlantis. Well, yes, that actually did happen, where energetically we did fall when Atlantis went through this very troubling time. And we fell into the third dimension, which is what we are in. Well, there are certain characteristics in the third dimension, and I explained one of them, where the particles are compacted. Now, in the higher dimension, each dimension that you go that is higher, the particles are less compacted. There is more space in between the particles. So when you view higher dimensions, the individuals are more ethereal until you get to the point where what you are seeing is basically light. They will be colors of light, but they are in the higher dimensions. But the dimension right above us, which would be the fifth dimension, souls are more ethereal because there are more spaces in between what we would consider electrons than it is here in this dimension. Now, once people understand this, that what they are seeing is a little different than, you know, seeing family members or looking at your hand, seeing something very solid, and it is more, as I said, ethereal. And colors are brighter. Colors will be different. It is like the signatures that souls carry on the other side. The different colors will be very pronounced based upon how their soul was created and what that basic color was used. So the next thing that people need to use is the right side of the brain when they are communicating with souls on the other side. And it is not something that I can explain to you on a radio show, because when I work with people, it is an interactive thing. Richard and I both do this work where we actually teach people how to communicate with consciousness using the right side of the brain. And that consciousness could be beings like we're talking about, beings of the light that might be working with us or helping us in some fashion, beings of the spiritual hierarchy. Also, everything has a consciousness. You know, crystals. I never understood years ago when I started working with crystals, and people would say, well, you connect with a crystal. Well, I would hold crystals in my hand. I wasn't sure how to connect with a crystal until I realized that what you really do is communicate with the consciousness of that crystal, and that is how you work with a crystal. And if you communicate, you can hear the crystal communicating with you. You know, some people are very good with communicating with animals. I was just watching something on YouTube where a gentleman was communicating with horses. And it was amazing the things that he could do with horses. And you've seen some of this with the horse whisperer, for instance. You know, other people even who have pets like dogs and cats, they seem to understand what the cat needs and wants. And the cat seems to understand what the human being wants and needs. And it is because there is this connection to consciousness. And the right side of the brain is our spiritual side. And the brain was divided at the fall in Atlantis, and there were reasons for that. Don't necessarily need to go into that right now, but there is a reason. And The right side of the brain is our spiritual inheritance, what the soul is. It is where we communicate with the soul and we communicate with other things that are spiritual. The left side of the brain is that side that so many people live in. It is that side of reasoning, of what people might consider the scientific approach. And so many people today, they are more interested in the scientific approach, and that means that they are completely missing out on the gifts from the soul, that intuition is one of them. You probably have stories. People who are listening to me right now probably have stories where their intuition has served them very well. Sometimes intuition is steady. It is always there. Sometimes intuition and psychic abilities are not controlled and come in haphazardly. And it is because people don't necessarily understand that this is a process and how this works, how the intuition and the answers to things come in the right side of the brain and the questioning aspect comes in the left side of the brain. And so there is a skill here that needs to be understood and learned, how to use both sides of the brain and what is the spiritual aspects and what is the mental, everyday questioning aspects. You know, you probably have heard where scientists in different parts of the world are working on the same project and don't realize it. And part of that is their own intuition, and part of it is using answers that come from the background energy, the universe itself. And so when we question, I mean, once you learn how to use the skill, it develops in such an amazing manner, because any answer that you're looking for is available to you if you learn how to use this skill and control it. Now, most answers that you need are here in this solar system. But if you want information that is even beyond this solar system, it is available. And you send out the question into the universe and expect the answer to come back, and it'll come back in several different ways. Some of it might be in the dream state. Some of it might be in synchronicities that happen in your life. Some of it might be in a direct voice that you hear when you work with this. We have a caller, Dorothy, on line 3. Hi, Dorothy.
Yes, hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi, Richard. It's so good to hear you. I'm calling with a story that you had asked to call in with an angel meeting. Is that okay?
An angel meeting? Is that what you said?
Well, a meeting, a miracle, yes.
We always love hearing about miracles, and I think the other listeners would love hearing about your miracle.
Well, you know, it was a funny... It's like a little thing, but it was a life-changing thing, because I was driving in my car at night on the highway, and all of a sudden, boom, my tire went, I mean, flat. Not, you can't even move. It's just off the highway and sit there. There were no cell phones at the time. It's like, now what am I going to do? I'm sitting here. And I had no idea what I was going to do. And I remembered my friend had told me, Dorothy, there are angels for everything. There's a shopping angel, you know, there's a high school angel, everything. So I'm sitting in the car, a little afraid here, and also I start laughing. I go, okay, flat tire angel, I know you're out there. Come on down here and help me with my flat. So I'm sitting in the car sort of like laughing. Well, seconds later, a car pulls up behind me. This guy comes over to my window, and I roll down my window. My eyes must have been like saucers, and I'm looking at him. I'm going, my goodness, this is an angel. And he said, I'm just looking at him. He goes, would you like me to change your tire? I went, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, no. I get out, and I'm watching him change it, and then he's finished, and I'm looking at him, and I said, can I offer you something? He goes, well, how about 20? And I'm thinking, I didn't know angels took payment. Okay, that's fine. He gets in his truck, I get in my car, and within minutes, I am back on the road perfectly fine. There
I wonder
is
what
no
that angel
doubt
did
in my mind.
20. I said, I wonder what that angel did with the 20.
Yeah, I wondered that too. But you know, it was okay. Anyway, there was no doubt in my mind that that was an angel. Or an angel sent that man. It was.
Well,
and
I love
that story.
It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And you did hit something on the nail in the sense that I do believe people are sent by angels to help other people. I do believe in that. And I think sometimes we actually have angels who come in human form to help people.
Yeah.
I have a very good friend who knew that secret about there are all kinds of angels and they have specialties. And when she needed a particular angel to help her, she would call on the angel for that specialty. And it was amazing how that worked.
Yes.
I tell you something else that is interesting. Very good friend of mine who I respected her abilities very greatly. She was so advanced in the sort of things that we're talking about. And what she viewed was when those buildings were falling in New York, that she saw very large angels holding up one of the buildings so that more people could get out. That was so remarkable.
That is beautiful.
It is
well,
beautiful.
Well, somebody told me there are angels with emergency squads. And so now whenever an emergency vehicle is going by with a somebody inside, I always look and see if I can see the angel sitting on top.
Well, it's interesting.
I haven't yet, but I know they're there.
It's interesting that you say that because the same woman, I don't know, there was a school where there was a lot of shooting going on, and I can't remember the name of the college. And it happened, these murders were happening so frequently and so suddenly that the people didn't always understand that they were dead, that they had died. And so there was a lot of bewilderment, and a lot of them were injured. And she was able to go to the other side and work with nurses and doctors that were working on triage with these individuals. And if there was a nurse who could hear her, and she would tell them which student needed the help, you know, that was alive, that needed the help, because they weren't all alive when they got them to the hospital. And I find that quite remarkable, because in a sense, you might say we are all angels, especially if we know how to work with people on the other side. And I just thought that was so amazing that she could go in there and speak to these young students who had just crossed over and explain to them what had happened, because they were so bewildered. They didn't know what happened. They tried to pick up their books and papers, and they didn't know that they weren't living in flesh as we are. So it could be a real angel. It could be where spiritual forces were telling somebody to help us, or it could be somebody like us in flesh who knows how to communicate with other people either in spirit or other people who are living and can hear information that is being sent to them. Well, Dorothy, I just love your story, and there are angels all around us. Thank you for calling.
It's crowded. It's crowded here, Carolyn.
Yes,
thank you, Carolyn. Bless you.
Really, bless you. We have MJ on line one. Hi, MJ.
Hello. How are you?
We're great. So you've got what? An angel story or some other story?
An angel story that saved my life.
Don't you love it? Aren't you glad?
Yeah, I used to live in northern Pennsylvania near the New York State border. I had a house that was up on top of a mountain in the woods on next to a lake, and my nearest neighbor was a half a mile away. So when I had to go home at night, it got pretty bad with the weather and the icy roads and the snow and such, because the last quarter mile I had to go up through the woods on this singular dirt road. And I had a four-wheel drive Chevy Blazer, and the road's only wide enough for that vehicle, the width of that vehicle. So the width of the vehicle is not, the length of the vehicle is much longer than the width of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put the, you know, chains on and whatever on my car because it was solid ice. And I was going up through the woods, and at the top of the hill on my way down to the house, my car decided to do a 180-degree spin on the ice. And so I ended up sliding backwards down the last 50 yards and sliding, immediately taking a 90-degree turn, sliding backwards right into my driveway. And I thought, okay, that was good. So I just got out because it was nighttime, went to sleep. And the next day, I went up to the road and I took some measurements from the wheelbase of my car, the back wheel to the front wheel. And I looked at the road, and for my car to have done that, my front wheels would have been over the embankment by approximately 18 inches.
Wow.
And there's no way my car could have stayed on the road rather than going down the embankment without angels holding it up.
Don't you just love it?
And that's physically proven that my car wheels were hanging over the edge of the cliff.
That's amazing.
Yep, yep.
Well, MJ, I really appreciate you calling in and telling us your story, because we can call on others to help. And, you know, many times we're in a real jam like this where we really need an angel. Are you there?
Well, in that case, it happened so quickly, I wasn't thinking about calling on them, but they sure were there to rescue me, because I sure needed help all by myself up there in the woods on solid ice with my car doing a 180.
Wow.
Yep.
I think all of us have a story like this up their sleeve.
Yeah, well, that was one of many when it came to getting home to that house. I said I had six different encounters with angels that saved my life over a period of 3 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so you moved from this place, I gather, in case you were worried that the angel supply ran out.
Well, yeah, you know, the cat with nine lives thing. I'd gone through number six. I thought I'd better get out of that snow, and I came down to Florida.
That's great. Anyway, thank you for
And then I had another angel encounter down here in the middle of a hurricane in Whiteout.
Tell us about it. We have time.
Yeah. So they seem to be following me around, which is pretty good, keeping me alive.
Well, tell us that story about Florida. We've got time to listen to it.
Oh, well, wonderful. I was coming back home, and I was making this turn onto Atlantic Avenue in Delray Beach, and all of a sudden there was this very big storm that came up, and down here they're called like wind shears, where all of a sudden there's 70, 80 mile an hour winds that come across. And at the time, something happened like you might see on top of a mountain when you're skiing. They call them whiteouts. Well, down here, that's called a grayout. And there I was, and the rain was pouring, and all of a sudden I couldn't see anything. It was like someone had put a gray or silver sheath across my windshield. And so I thought, well, you know, like going through a falling fire or a fire or something like that, you're supposed to just drive on through. So I kept driving at about 15, 20 miles an hour. And then I saw a little bit of the road. And then again, it was a gray out. And then I saw a little bit of the road. And I made it through for about 100 yards and then saw the rest of the road and kept going. And the interesting thing was I could see the telephone poles occasionally on the side of the road outside my driver window. And I found out as I got past there by 200 yards that seven of those telephone poles came down on the road, one right after the other, and a couple on top of cars and things. And they sort of just sort of start falling right behind me, and I never even knew it. So I was like, oh, thank you, angels. You know, they guided me, kept me on the road. And at that time, I did call on them. I was, because I couldn't see. So I was sitting there going, all right, angels, I need you now. Keep me on this road. I have to get home now. Please keep me safe. Keep me on this road. And so they did. Yeah,
that was beautiful. Well, MJ, thank you for your angel stories. I appreciate it, and I'm sure the audience does too.
All right. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you and Richard for all the good work you do. I really am blessed to have you in my life.
Oh, thank you. Well, we don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to mention again that stories like this and others I put on my blog, which is, you can go to the blog, carolynevers.wordpress.com. And you can sign up to hear when a new blog or get an email telling you that a new blog has been placed online. I wanted, since we have been talking a lot about angels, I did, using the Akashic Records, I was curious about angels, and I got a lot of information about angels. And I'll tell you what I think is a beautiful story. And that is little babies. When you see infants come, newly born, you will see them smile. And people will say, oh, they're not really smiling. They're too little to be having any kind of thought process or interaction with one another. It's probably just the digestive process. Well, what I learned is that when a soul crosses that divide and they come to Earth, that on the other side there is music. And you might have heard about this. It's very musical, and it's vibration that people are hearing. And the vibration expresses itself in music. And so these little babies that are being born, it's traumatic for them in many ways when they're born. And I just love this story. What I found out is that angels cross with them, keeping them company through the birthing process. And they sing to them. And so the next time you look into an infant's face and you see him smiling, know that what they are doing is hearing the sound of the angels singing to them. Now, that is a special group of angels that do that. Now, there's another group of angels that work with people as they are crossing over. And you might have heard people say, like right before they pass over, that all of a sudden there is a calm that comes to them. And they walk into that experience with grace and ease and beauty. And it is because there is another group of angels who their specialty is to work with these individuals as they are crossing over. So what I want to say is that there are hands helping hands everywhere, whether they are newborn babies, people crossing over to the other side, or whether it is somebody who needs to be saved from some incident that happens to them, either driving or skiing. They are there. It is why angels are considered messengers, you know. And there are all of these specialties. They have their own work cut out for them, and they know how to keep their specialty going. Richard, we have a couple minutes, 3 minutes before we're closing out. Imagine how fast that hour went. Is there anything that you want to add?
I think you've been doing a marvelous job, Carol. It's amazing the stories you have been bringing forth. But you know, we all have experiences in life where we look at the events and we can see, you, as you say, the hand of spirit at work. And there are a couple that stick in my mind. I've probably only got time to tell one of those, but there was a time when I was assisting my father and my brother-in-law to lop some limbs off some trees at my parents' place. My father was a farmer all his working life, and so we were trimming some gum trees, eucalypts, as a lot of people probably know them, but we call them gum trees. And I was working the chainsaw, and the other two had a rope on this limb, which they were trying to control the movement of, and I was sort of cutting it above my head. And as it turned out, when I cut it off, the stump, kind of the end of the branch, sort of slipped back into the fork of the tree, and this limb, they just had no way of controlling it. And it swung around somewhat uncontrollably, and I moved in one direction hoping to get out of the road of it. And, in fact, I moved exactly into its path, and this limb hit me in the middle of the back, knocked me over, and then landed on my arms between my head and the chainsaw on the other side. And if it had landed on top of me or on my head, I would not be here. This was a massive limb. And it was quite clear to me that there was a little divine guidance going on as that unfolded. And this was many years ago, before I had any great connection to what I'm doing these days. But I remembered that moment. I thought, there is no chance that this happened. This was somebody who was looking out for me in that process. So we've all had these experiences in various ways, shapes, and forms. And it's beautiful that you've taken the time to share some of these with people, Carolyn, some of your experiences. And I know you've got 100 more stories you could tell of some of your experiences in your travels and so on, many that you've shared with me over the years. And it's wonderful that you've taken the time to share these with people.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah, I do think sharing these kind of stories with people gives them hope. You know, there's so much depressing news in the world and not enough of really beautiful stories being told. And that's what I want to do, raise the flag on the beauty that is around us and really get people to think of these things, because it is what keeps us going.
Indeed.
So, Richard, thank you so much. I appreciate you tuning in. And for those who have called in, I thank you. For all of you who are listening, may you find your angels really quick. And until next week, we will be thinking of you and blessing you. Good night for now.